or on a regular basis to rise to your feet, and we understand that. But to give attention to the reading of God's Word, if you're physically able, you always want to stand with the congregation as a whole as we honor the reading of God's Word. You can go over into the Old Testament, the book of Ezra, I believe, and you'll find that's a scriptural truth of something they did in the Bible. And so I recommend it if you're physically able to do it. We understand if you're not. Galatians chapter 5, may I read just one verse to you, please? The fifth chapter. The Bible says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." Isn't that a wonderful verse of Scripture? Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for how that you've used it in my life throughout the past day or two and the things that you've helped me with in it. Thank you for these, thy dear people, that have assembled in your house tonight and are so faithful, Lord. I do pray for Miss Becca as she is downstairs with, the other leaders as they teach the children. I pray that you would use them. May hearts, minds be attentive to what you've got. Maybe somebody be saved down there tonight. And then, Lord, across the parking lot, help Brother Daniel as he preaches over there to the teenagers. I pray that you'd help them to be attentive. Open hearts. Lord, do a good work, I pray, there. Lord, on this place as well, in this room, I pray that you would meet with us. Lord, if there be that one, and I certainly don't know, but it's possible on this Wednesday night somebody could be lost or living away from you or just needs to be encouraged, I pray tonight would be the night. Yet help us from your word. We'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. When we come to Galatians chapter 5, we find the Galatians, they had been influenced by a false gospel of being justified by the works of the Old Testament law. When you go and you consider the early days of the New Testament church and in the New Testament of God's word, there was still a lot of the influence from the old law of the Old Testament in the Jewish realm of religion. And it's here that the Galatians are being influenced by that. They're being influenced in going back into something they didn't have to go back into. And so therefore, Paul is writing them a letter. And he is letting them know that they don't have to go back into all that stuff of the past. He's saying, you are free now. You don't have to go back into all of that. I've been studying that today, preparing for this next week as well. And aren't you just thankful that because of the grace of God, the cross of Calvary, we are just free people? We don't have to worry about all that stuff anymore, all the rules and all the regulations. That's not to say that we don't live for the Lord, but I'm talking about the law for salvation. We live under grace now. And I am so grateful to the Lord for this age of grace that He has given us. We are now just about 3 days away. It's hard to believe it's July 1st. Went to the bank today and I asked the lady if she had been busy, and she said it's the first of the month. It's been crazy. And I thought to myself, is it really July 1st? That hadn't even dawned on me. July 1st today, and we're now just 3 days away from Independence Day as we celebrate the freedom and the liberty of our nation on the 4th of July. I look forward to this time. It's a joy just to look back and be reminded of where God has brought a nation and where we're at today. And may we never forget the freedom that we enjoy. So with that in mind, I felt that it was fitting and wholly appropriate for us to just think about this matter of freedom for just a minute tonight. And then we'll spend some time in prayer calling out to the Lord. I just think it's good for us to be reminded about the freedom of the believer. I've got some freedom tonight. I don't have any chains of bondage that is upon me. That's what Paul is telling these folks that he is writing to. I'll give you three quick things having to do with this freedom of the believer. Think first of all with me about the believer's stand. The believer's stand, and we see it in the first verse, the first few words of the verse. He says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Isn't that wonderful? He says in the very first word, he says, stand. It's telling us God's people can stand. It is speaking of a position that the child of God can take in their life when it comes to this matter of liberty and having freedom in the things of God and as a child of God. Paul is saying that there are some things to take a stand for. He's saying there are some things that are worth fighting for. And the freedom and the liberty of the grace of God that He has given us is something that is worth us taking a stand for, us fighting for the liberty for, and not ever to waver in or wobble back and forth in and not waffle one direction or another. But this matter of the doctrine of salvation is something that we ought to just hold on to, and we're just non-negotiable on, and we stand upon and we proclaim it to the rest of the world. And it's something that is worth fighting for. And you know what I mean by fighting? I don't mean fighting words and throwing punches. You know what I mean? Standing upon it and worth taking that position upon. Salvation is something you don't mess with. It's something that you don't change your position on. There's things that people can have, that positions that people may take here or there, that may be a personal position, a personal conviction. And you can always talk about those things in a good God-honoring way. You can even debate things from time to time. But when it comes to this matter of being saved, you better be careful about how much wiggle room you have when it comes to your eternal soul. You better take a stand on some of those things. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about our nation coming in to July 4th and thinking about how that we as America, we are seeing things every day right now on the news and in our own towns and in our own society, what is close to us. We are seeing the liberties and the freedoms that we have always known coming under attack. They are in jeopardy now. Everywhere that we turn, the things that we have enjoyed for years upon years, my whole lifetime, the lifetime of our families before us, our grandparents and grandparents before that, great-grandparents, there are things that are in liberty, that are in jeopardy of having our freedom and liberty affected. I talked about this a little bit last week or week before, and I got something else on my heart that eventually I may talk to you about having to do with these things. Folks, there are some things when it comes to our freedom in our country that we ought to be willing to fight for. I thank God I walked past somebody's truck. It may have been yours at the meeting last week we were at, and there was a veteran's hat in the front of the truck, and I couldn't help but think, I sure thank the Lord for those that were willing to go out and fight for something that was worth fighting for. And I know there are several of you that are in this room and across the building tonight. You were willing to go out and fight. You were willing to take a stand for the freedom that I enjoy today. And so as we see our freedoms and our liberties that are so clearly under attack, may we not only as citizens of this nation, but citizens of God. You see, when our liberty and freedom is taken and comes under attack and sometimes squeezed and even taken away, we've got to take the approach on this that it affects the gospel of Jesus Christ. You say, how is that possible? It's possible because for 7 weeks we were shut down here and we couldn't go out and knock on doors and invite people to church. That affects the gospel, and the devil is laughing all the way to hell thinking about how that he shut down the churches from being able to go out and share the gospel. Our freedom gets affected. It affects us sending missionaries across the world and them being able to do their work. Friends, we need to remember that fighting for our freedom is something that is worth taking a stand for. When it comes to the spiritual matters, these things of the believer, God help us all every day to remember that salvation is a non-negotiable matter. Thank God for the salvation that we have in Him. It's worth fighting for. It's worth taking a stand for. You don't believe that it's worth making those sacrifices for. You may need to revisit the reality and the validity of your true conversion. What I've got is worth fighting for. What I've got is a hill worth dying upon, just as Christ did. It's a non-negotiable. There is the believer's stand that we are given in verse number 1. But number 2, think with me about the believer's stability as well. We see the believer's stability as we read again verse number 1 of the 5th chapter. Paul says, stand fast. In other words, that's where the non-negotiable is. You stand fast. You stand firm. Don't move on this thing. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now notice these words, and be not entangled. Now there's enough right there to talk about. and be not entangled. Do you know what he's saying when he talks about the entanglement here? He's talking about this entanglement. Don't get caught up. Don't get hung up in a bunch of things that's going to trip you up. It's going to make you fall. It's going to make you get caught into the trap. He says, be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'll get into that in just a minute. But what I don't you see right now is the stability of the believer that we have. He says, be not entangled again. You see that word again? You know what it's doing is it's taking us back to a previous time where a people had been entangled in some things that were not of God. Now in Galatians, it's telling us that they were going back into what we would call today heresy. The old law, what legalism is. You hear that word thrown around, legalism is. Legalism is not somebody who actually has a level of living convictions about them. Liberalism, legalism, that's the terms that are thrown around. Legalism is trusting in the law and abiding by the law for salvation. I don't have particular positions and convictions that I have on things because I depend on it for my salvation. But because I have salvation, the Lord deals with my heart. And there's places that I don't go. There's drinks that I don't partake in. There's things that I don't take, that I don't partake in. There's just people that I don't associate with in a particular social way because the Spirit of God living within me just does not let me do that. But he's saying right here, you don't have to go back into this again. Don't get entangled in all this stuff. How many of us before have gotten entangled in stuff that didn't do anything for us, but take us down a path that deferred us away from the things of God that made us more productive for Him? And you can find that in a lot of different categories. But God is telling him through the pen of Paul here, he's saying, do not get hung up in all of that stuff again. You are no longer in that right now. Don't go back. In other words, there is nothing in your past that is worth going back to. Can somebody say amen there? Many of us can look back into our lives, and boy, we see the marks on our life. We see the stains on our life. As Jude put it, spots that are upon our garments, things that sin has caused us to have such sorrow over and regret in. We look at these things, and folks, there is nothing in this world that's worth going back to. Paul says, don't go back to all that stuff. You have been made free. You are clear. You have experienced what the grace of God is, and it has changed your life. I remember the night that I accepted salvation by means of the Lord's grace. I was a young guy when I did that. And so I never got out into a whole bunch of stuff of the world that was out there. But I don't regret that. I don't regret not having the experiences of the world. The fact is, I don't have to live a life of regret today because I didn't have that. It's not to say I didn't make a bunch of mistakes and that I don't have some regrets. But all I'm saying is I found freedom at an early age. And there was nothing in this world that could even come close to competing with the freedom and the liberty that I found in the God that saved me through His salvation. Remember, the believer can take a stand upon this because it is so real in our life. If it's not that real to you, again, think about it. Check up on these things. If it's not that real, it's not worth standing for because there's stability that is there. The believers stand. There's the believers' stability that we have. And I want you to think finally with me that there is the believer's security. The believer's security, not only stand, not only stability, but security. And he says again in verse number 1, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. I'm going to deal with the yoke, God willing, Sunday, so I'll get more into that. But the yoke of bondage, he again is pointing them back to the day that they were a bunch of slaves. Can you remember the day when you were in bondage and you were a slave? to sin. Egypt, a type of the world, a type of sin, they came out of that, made their exodus from that in the book of Exodus. God pulled them out of that bondage. And that day that we gave our life to Christ was the day that we rose our flag upon our lives saying that we are a child of God. Everything should have changed that day. We found something that was worth standing for. Something we can have some stability in and something we have got some security with. Thank God I don't have to worry about my eternity. It is secure within the nail-scarred hand of the darling Son of God. Nothing is ever going to be able to change that. Thinking about our nation again, and we think about our country, and going back to that word again, entangled again, not to go back to those things. And think about our nation, and we are seeing right before our eyes our country attempt to go back into things that 244 years ago we came out of, and a lot of people died for. Tyranny, violence in the streets, and we fought Britain against some of these things. We fought battles throughout the rest of our national history to give us these strength, and we are seeing all that in jeopardy. And I cannot understand for the life of me why somebody would even consider going back into all of that stuff. But all it is a symbol of somebody, now listen to me, who does not know where they came from. They know a little bit about where they may have come from, but they don't know every detail of where they came from. And so therefore, you're seeing all this lack of stability now because people don't remember who they once were, where they are, how good God was to them to give them a nation like this, give us all a nation like this to live in. It's the same thing with a child of God. I go to this all the time, but the reason the Church of America is dying is because a bunch of people are sitting in them that forgot where they came from. Forgot the fact they've been made free. Forgot the fact that we wave that blood-stained banner of Calvary everywhere we go, and as a result of it, I don't have to be in bondage anymore. Those of us that are tangled up a little bit in the affairs and matters of this world, and even maybe contemplating going back to the things of this world, I don't understand why we'd want to ever do that. I'm telling you now, there is nothing in this world for the child of God to go back to. He has given us freedom. He has given us liberty. And He said, don't even get entangled in going back to any of that stuff again. He's saying, walk the line. Stand. Have your stability. Rest in your security. I rejoice in that. The freedom that we have as believers. Several things to pray about tonight.